are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here for the Locked On Big 12 podcast. Today, it is April 1st, 2021. Today's show is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Go to RockAuto.com today for the best prices on parts for your car or truck. On the show today, it is coaching silly season in the college ranks for basketball right now. So we discuss the openings of the Texas and Oklahoma jobs, the Otzelberger move to Iowa State that happened a little while ago, and we also touch on the Mike Woodson job. And it's kind of the nature of college coaching right now, some of the biggest names, some of the biggest storylines. Fun episode here with Anthony DeBundo. He joins me to break all of this down. Thank you, guys. We'll enjoy this one. Going 3, 2, and 1. All right, joining me today to talk some coaching silly season in college basketball, it is Anthony DeBundo. Anthony, I feel like football is a sport where the firings and hirings are much more prevalent. And in the Big 12 this year, following the season at least, we had none. No coach was let go this year in the Big 12. And then this year, you know, in basketball, you think everybody except for Steve Prohm is fine. But then they've got two others. You end up Lon Kruger retires, and also Shaka Smart leaves for Marquette. So, I mean, it's kind of funny. I don't think anybody saw this coming, right? That we'd have two openings like that at this point in time right now.
Yeah, it's definitely surprising. Well, Kruger's retirement, I think, he's up there in age now, and it's not that shocking that it did happen. You just never know when the final straw is going to be. The Shaka move was shocking to me. I thought, you know, obviously they haven't had a tournament win since he got there, 0-3 in tournament games, but they've really been kind of unlucky in a lot of ways. You know, Jesperson hits a half-court shot, right, and then they have the collapse against Musselman in Nevada. And then this year, just a brutal matchup with Abilene Christian, and then Coleman gets in foul trouble and they just don't make anything. So it was really how much can you blame Shaka for that? They did just win the conference title. And so, you know, that was surprising. The other one's not as much. Prohm, I mean, I was a huge Steve Prohm fan, and then, you know, you go 2-22.
They didn't win a game in the conference.
They didn't win a game in the conference. And that's tough to come back from. And they lost Horton Tucker and Halliburton early.
But they still had some good players in that team. Yeah, they still had some decent players. They did not have the worst roster in the league. Kansas State did. And that's the problem, is that Kansas State had the worst roster. And also, they had guys like Sam Young and we know who Rasir Bolton is, pretty good scorer. And they still were just awful. So,
they were young either.
Yeah.
They weren't that young. So you couldn't be like, well.
Right. No, that was not a super young team. And they knew it was going to be a step back type season, but this bad, they did not see coming. They hired TJ Otzelberger from who was the coach at UNLV. Ironically enough, another Big 12 tie. UNLV names Lon Kruger's son as their head coach now, right? So funny tie there. But Otzelberger taking over the job now at Iowa State. This is somewhere where he was an assistant associate head coach as well, a Midwestern guy. So they make that move. That move kind of makes sense. And it's weird. That's actually kind of a pretty good basketball program, right? Sneaky, very good basketball program. I mean, they've put a lot of guys in the league recently. You know, even George Niang, right? Monte Morris, another guy they put in the league. You know, Taylor Horton Tucker, somebody you just mentioned. Tyrese Halliburton. So it's not a bad job at all. There are worse places you could be. You could argue 5 years ago. I mean, I think it'd be hard to argue that Texas Tech is a better place to go coach basketball. The name's Iowa, right? Lubbock, Texas is a worse place. Now, that being said, Chris Beard is the example of you should be able to win everywhere, right? You can win it. If you can build a winner in Lubbock, Texas, you can build a winner in basketball, especially in Lubbock, Texas. You can build a winner anywhere. And I think that's the case even with these two football schools we're looking at now, right? Oklahoma and Texas. They've shown it. They can be winners.
I'm not a huge fan of the Otzelberger hire. Obviously, he had South Dakota State,
right? Mike Dom.
Those teams, they had the terrible exit from the summit his last year, and then didn't perform particularly well in their tournament games. Kind of got worked in both of those, despite having Mike Dom, who was awesome. And, you know, a true great. And then, you know, in 2 years at UNLV, they weren't very good. The Mountain West was down this year. I'm a big Mountain West fan. I watched a lot of UNLV games, actually, by virtue of liking some of the other coaches and the teams in that league. And they just aren't, they really didn't take any strides forward. They weren't very good in the league. They were under 500 in the league. So we'll see what ends up with Olsenberger, but definitely would be interesting to see if he can try to rebuild the program. And then they do need a rebuild because, you know, it had deteriorated. You mentioned all the players they had
right
for all those years. I mean, you know, none of those guys are around anymore, and they really haven't replenished at all. You know, they had a great team 2 years ago, 2019. You won't find a bigger fan of Iowa State than me that year. I Horton Tucker, Wigginton, Jacobson, I watched almost every game. And they've really fallen off since then.
Yeah, I mean, and he's a guy who's been there, so he understands kind of what it takes to do to win there. And look, it's a really difficult conference. You know, this is not an easy conference to win. And let's talk about the Oklahoma job first. Lon Kruger was excellent. You know, for what Oklahoma is, especially with how, like, it matters. I think football and basketball at schools like this are linked, right? So when football is that good, like it's been for Oklahoma, you know, their playoff appearances, obviously the streak of winning the Big 12 as well. You know, basketball just needs to be good. You know, it needs to be, you know, something else, you know, we can kind of focus on in the winter and be pretty decent. They were better than that. They were a lot better than that. They made a Final Four. And that is something that, you know, whoever goes there next is going to have to take up that mantle. Like, there is an expectation now with Oklahoma basketball of being pretty competitive. You know, it's not like this is, you know, some bad program. They've had good – Trae Young and Buddy Hield are, you know, I mean, just multimillionaires, you know, two really good young players in the NBA who've carried teams. And they've showed that they can get quality players like that there. You know, right now BetOnline has the odds. And let's talk about some of these options here. So Mark Turgeon is the first one at plus 150. And people don't understand this, but I do. Do you not? How do you feel about this one? I want to get your thoughts on it
first. How do I feel about Mark Turgeon as a coach or Mark Turgeon to Oklahoma? No, just
this. People are like, why Mark Turgeon? Like, I understand why this would make sense.
Well, he has the Midwest roots, right? And so, you know, you have to factor that in, but it's just a bad hire for me. I'm not a Turgeon fan. How many talented teams has Maryland had in the last 8 to 10 years that have never put the pieces together? They've never gotten past the Sweet 16, I believe. Under Turgeon. So I'm not a Turgeon guy in general, but I understand why there is the links there. They made one Sweet 16 in what is now 10 years at Maryland. Not impressive to me. And obviously, you know, he coached at A&M before that. So, you know, there's Midwest roots and whatnot, but I'm not a believer in Turgeon at all.
So I'm different. Actually on this, I mean, I think for Maryland is a bad fit because Maryland's got really high basketball expectations. It is a good basketball school. Maryland feels weird ever since they've been to the Big Ten. Like, how I feel about their basketball program feels different to me because in the ACC, it made sense, right? It just made sense. They were competitive. Gary Williams obviously won a title there. They were competitive. They're a really great program. Here's the thing about Mark Turgeon. If you look at his resume, it's pretty similar to what you're seeing right now from Lon Kruger with a number of tournament appearances. Now, no Final Fours, and he's never been past the Sweet 16. But during his time at A&M and during at Maryland, I mean, Mark Turgeon took teams pretty consistently to the NCAA tournament, and that's kind of what you want at Oklahoma, right? And maybe occasional run. But that, to me, is a level of success. Also, that marriage at Maryland is over. But he's had a lot of success there. So I don't think people criticize him too much. They do win a lot of basketball games. He's won a lot of basketball games. As a coach in his career, 471 wins at the Division I level. That's a lot. So I'm actually a little bit higher on what people think. I mean, yes, in the biggest moments, is he great? No, but that Lon wasn't either, and they love him there. We'll let you guys know that today's show is brought to you by RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is a family-run business serving auto parts customers online for nearly 20 years. They have all the parts that you would need for your car or truck, and best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for pros and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box. So note, we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
You always got the sense with the Lon Kruger team that they overperformed their talent, though. And I don't think that's the case at Maryland when you look at that team. And obviously, we never know what would have happened to Maryland last season. I think that was probably their best team. And they had a lot of talent with Wiggins, Cowan, and Ayala, and then obviously Marcel. They're, I mean, you know, and Jalen Smith in the middle. But they did not ever strike me as a team that was consistent, that started games well. Those are the kind of things I look for. And they never looked like, you know, Turgeon was elevating talent. It was never a team that got better as the year went on either. So for me, not a Turgeon guy, but there are other people I kind of would see maybe as a case. And one of them is Grant McCaslin from North Texas. I mean, look what they just did in the tournament. You know, he would be a great option. He's from the Scott Drew tree. That's the name I would look towards if you want to go kind of for the young up and coming guy from, you know, a smaller school. What about Paul Mills? Right.
That one makes a lot of sense. Cause he's yeah. Once again, you know, somebody, I believe he's Scott Drew guy, a former Baylor coach. And, you know, look, Oral Roberts is in Oklahoma. So it kind of makes sense as well. Another guy you mentioned, young guy, Jerome Tang is somebody that I know Fran Fraschilla loves Jerome Tang. He's a big part of what they do at Baylor. I think that would make a lot of sense. So the one that is interesting is John Beilein, because I think John Beilein wants to get back into coaching. The problem with John Beilein is he's a little older. And so I don't know if you know, Lon took the job when he was pretty old too, right? And retired within a decade. I mean, decade's a long time to be somewhere, but still, you know, do you want a guy who is younger, or would you rather, you know, would you go with kind of a guy who's established like a John Beilein again? What do you think of that name?
I cover Syracuse for the Daily Orange. And so we have Syracuse has the oldest coach in Division I. And the things that, you know, you hear the mumblings and the rumors and the, you know, people in the scouting, the things you hear are that college basketball is less about prestige and history for these young guys than it has ever been in terms of recruiting. And so, you know, when you bring in an old guy like Beilein, you know, so many of these kids don't know like the history or the status of Beilein. It's a young man's game now. And you have people to relate to players. And, you know, obviously Beilein had a problem with that in the NBA. And you start to think, okay, maybe there were problems at Michigan too back then. It just got covered up because you're a college coach. But I don't think that flies anymore. I think that's changed. So I'm against Beilein too. Not that he can't coach. I just don't know if he can recruit. And I don't know if he fits in the modern game anymore. So I think that would be a no for me, because I would prefer to hire a younger guy and give him a shot than Beilein, who I think has, you know, he's a retread option at this point.
Yeah, you do get worried about the retreads. I mean, I think it would work in basketball. We see guys, Lon Kruger's a good example of somebody actually went to the NBA, right, and came back to college and did pretty well after an unsuccessful NBA stint. So, I mean, I don't think it's like impossible, but yeah, the age does concern me. That it's more of football where I think the retreads don't work all the time. Mack Brown being the one big exception right now, I think, but across the board, it's typically tough. In basketball, I feel a bit differently about it. And then Kellen Sampson's the other one. You know, obviously, Kellen is the son of Kelvin Sampson, and that is such an interesting, you know, a very interesting dynamic there. Somebody obviously who has a lot of experience learning from his dad and, you know, being on that staff. So I think that's a name that people should target, although there doesn't seem to be much heat around that.
I mean, certainly, you know, if Houston, you know, they're playing Baylor Saturday night, it's gonna be a great game. I would say that he's probably in the mix. If you're looking, you know, if you're looking at assistants, you're not trying to find a head coach. You know, he's got the coaching background. You know, he wouldn't have to coach against his dad. So like, that's, you know, probably ideal.
He's younger too. He's also, you know,
right,
a bit younger.
And so there's a lot of boxes that ticks. And I think you could definitely convince a fan base that, like, you know, look at this guy who has a successful career in, you know, in his son, who obviously he values and has on his own staff. You know, he played for the program. So, you know, it kind of works. I think he's kind of the sneaky choice, even though I guess he's not that sneaky anymore. But I would get behind that hire too. And I think that you could easily sell that to a fan base.
One more interesting one that was on this list. Dana Altman. Why? No offense.
Leaving Oregon?
No offense. Why would you leave Oregon? No offense to
I mean, if they could hire Dana Altman, I would hire Dana Altman.
Oh, yeah. No, it's, no. Look, if
that's an easy hire.
If Joe C could pull that off, Stickley Young could pull that off, man, I would be flummoxed. I'd be that's the coup of a century. But what they've got,
one of the most underrated coaches in the country, if you
right?
Ask me.
What he has going at Oregon is it's perfect. Selling Oregon to modern, to recruits nowadays, it's easy. I know it's a Pac-12 and we joke about it, but they're in the tournament every single year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like making in a lot of ways, too.
They've been in the Sweet 16 the last two. A lot of ways, they were in the Final Four.
Oregon's like a Pac-12 version of Oklahoma in a lot of ways, right? It's a, in the early part of the 2000s, Oregon was in the national championship game pretty more, I'd say kind of that 05 to what 2015 stretch, right? Later on, Oregon was a great football program and basketball kind of coming along behind it. And that's what kind of Oklahoma reminds me of now, right? But Oregon plays a fun, exciting style, right? They spread the floor out. They are athletic. They're long. And they don't put a ton of players into the league, right? Not a lot of Oregon Ducks in the NBA, but there's talent there, right? You can recruit there. Obviously, the Nike background is something you can recruit as well. So I think that's a wish. I mean, if they could score that, that would be unbelievable, right? That'd just be an unbelievable hire.
Yeah, I just don't think it's happening. And Altman's got a lot of really good young talent. They're building up, I think, quite a bit for another run next season. They just made the Sweet 16 again. They theoretically could have a bunch of those guys back. And Richardson will probably be back. And, they lose Duarte, but they're going to be very good. Frank Kepnang is like one of the best bigs in the country, and nobody knows who he is yet. He's a Philly guy. He is going to be a star. And he always gets the rangy bigs who can defend and
Omoyuri
and run Omoroy. Yeah.
I can never pronounce the last name.
Yeah, it's tough. And Duarte, and they have the fast, smaller guards. I mean, they're really fun to watch in general. Will Richardson's a lot of fun, and like their whole team is between like 6'5" and 6'10", so that's kind of fun. But I'm in on Oregon next season. I don't think he's leaving. I don't really get that. Understand? But I think that'd be a downgrade in some ways, to be honest, for Altman,
who
has a brand established.
And Austin Reeves is leaving, Brady Manning is leaving, Davion Harmon is transferring. So there is, this is going to be a little bit of a rebuild now, but I don't think it'll be that long. It's not going to be that
probably
long.
I would go with the mid-major type coach.
But with the way transfers work now, in 2 years, you can have your roster.
Exactly. You don't have to recruit anymore. You just get the guys once they decide they don't like the first school they went
right.
to.
Right. Okay, let's go to the more interesting job of these two. I'm sorry, Oklahoma. It just is Texas, because everything is really more interesting at Texas. So the odds on favorite here is Chris Beard at -110. It's a pretty obvious choice for me. Go ahead.
I bet yes.
So
I would bet yes on Beard. I mean, they can buy him out, right? And Texas is considered the bigger job. It's the bigger name.
Here's a problem I have with this.
He has the experience there.
Here's a problem, though, is that at Texas Tech, he is Texas Tech basketball. He has full control. Whatever he says goes, whatever he asks for, he gets. We know that the case with Texas Athletics, that is not true. You know what I mean? You are not the one calling all the shots all the time. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got, whether it be the eyes of Texas or, who your assistant coaches should be, right? There's always there's a lot of cooks in that kitchen. Do you want to deal with that? Do you want to deal with going there? And while, you could just stay in Lubbock and continue to do what you're doing, and be paid handsomely for it. Do you want that? Now, I think there's a good chance he does, because I think he's somebody who likes challenges. And I think he is somebody that, that's a place, he went to school, and also he coached there previously, I think, as a GA. Like, that would be, I think that means a lot to him. It'd be a great personal challenge to be like, I want to make this, Texas basketball. I want to get him there, and I want to win at a high level. So I understand he's a favorite, but I think the choice for him kind of boils down to those two things.
Are you betting yes on that? At -110, I would hammer yes.
Yeah, I have to go yes. Royal Ivy's the second
one. I also think there's a decent chance he goes to the NBA in a short period of time.
I do too. There's something, but here's the thing: if he goes to Texas,
Texas
that's
is
not
a great
the case.
One.
He's sure not, but it well, not like I don't think he goes to Texas for 2 years. I think he goes. I mean, I think
he's still pretty young.
I think if you go to Texas, you're staying for a long time. Now, I think if he goes to Texas, he goes to the NBA eventually, right? But I think if he stays Texas Tech for a couple more years. And he makes another Final Four. I mean, there'd be a lot of heat behind him going to the NBA. And I think eventually he will be an NBA coach. But, this is kind of what does he want? Because, Texas, if that's his project, I think it's his project for a long time. I don't see him making a quick jump.
Yeah, I mean, you never know, right? When the NBA comes calling, the NBA comes calling. And I think for a guy like Beard, that's very, very
appealing.
You know, interesting. Yeah, appealing. And he, you know, he's built a lot through transfers. So it makes me wonder, you know, how much is he interested in the recruiting end of things, and you know, how is he as a recruiter and whatnot, as much as he is a coach. And those kind of guys tend to want to go to the NBA. I mean, look, a guy like Brad Stevens did not like recruiting much. Incredible coach at the NBA, and you know, he's never leaving. Well, I think Beard could end up that way too, and he, you know, in a similar way. I mean, what was Texas Tech before Chris Beard?
Right.
Not much. Nothing. Right? And so, you know, they had the occasional year, but they're never, you know, a great team at all. They were, you know, they'd be in the, you know, obviously not since, you know, the night days, right? But I don't know that, you know, he doesn't just take Texas and wait till the NBA comes calling, and then when he leaves, there's no reason he couldn't leave the NBA, Texas, after a couple of years.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I just feel like that's one of those things where it becomes a project for him, you know, just with his roots, whatever, but he could do that. But I think Texas would not want to view themselves as any stepping stone to anything, right? They'd say, you're coming here, you're going to be the coach. It's just kind of how they work. Other names, Roy Livey. I saw he interviewed for the job, obviously former player there, and I believe he's assistant in the NBA. I forget which team he's for.
The Nets, I believe.
Nets. John Calipari is on there. They are not buying him out. His contract buyout is gigantic.
Yeah, it's too much money.
Mike Boynton is on here as the fourth. He just signed a giant contract too. So, I mean, I don't see them immediately buying him out. Musselman, I would go against that. I would not hire Eric Musselman there. I wouldn't say he would be good, but very Shaka Smartish. Like, he's got – here's the problem. Arkansas's team, and now also multiple teams from Eric Musselman, I know it's like, you know, taking like six games here. They are down by 15 points in every tournament game they play in. Is a style.
Nevada, it was a problem.
Right, exactly. And it is a
every problem. He's coached 9 tournament games, and they've trailed by double digits in the first half of 8 of them.
And to me, that
and
shows
it's not a, just a tournament style. Issue, too. It was an issue at Nevada.
No, it's how their team works. It is how their team has to get punched in the mouth multiple times. And when they get rolling, they get rolling. But against elite competition, and look, I'm sure Musselman will be able to build teams similar to this one this year that he had in Arkansas. But not many guys like Moses Moody are coming to that door all the time, right? It's hard to get guys like that good to come to your school constantly. So Arkansas is a school that always plays a pace, but his version of it, you can't beat the heavyweights that way. You cannot beat the heavyweights that way. And that is, does Texas want that? Because let's be honest, their team this year, I thought if they got by Abilene Christian, that I was kind of more worried about the game than that was the second round game. This was a team that could just start putting, you know, once they get past something, they kind of just start putting it together. We see how they can roll. We saw it in that fake Maui tournament, right? We saw it in the Big 12 tournament in the back, they put it back into the season. You know, is Musselman the guy to break that stretch? Because the talent at Texas is not the issue. It's actually the effort sometimes, right? Or coaching, I should say, play calling, if you will, you know, in some moments. Some of the defensive stuff is worrying for, you know, the players have. Because, look, they passed the airport test this year, right? If you walk by that team, you might even say, is that an NBA team? If you didn't know any better, because of how big and strong and athletic they are. So it's about and that's probably pretty similar for Arkansas, too. Now it's about finding the guy who can get you over that hump. And do you want to go with a John Beilein? Do you want to go with a, you know, Dana Altman's on this list, too, as well. Like, you know, what do you think is the right answer? I think Chris Beard is, I mean, I would throw every single dollar I could at Chris Beard. That's kind of my answer.
Yeah, I would also do that. I am not a Musselman guy. You know, this has become a running joke with me. I was so in on him. And then I watched that Nevada team 2019 with all the talent, you know, right. Caroline, the Martin twins, you know, stuff privately I've heard about locker room falling apart at the end of the season, some relationship stuff and bad. And you get into kind of how bad they were in some of those Mountain West games where they're just going on the road to these god awful teams and spotting them 20 and then trying to press right. their way back into the game. And I'm just
which
like,
is coaching.
You can't sustain a program like that. And that is coaching. Yeah. And you know, look, Mutz is a great motivator in terms, you know, he's kind of goofy. He's kind of a cult hero. I think he can build a program, but Texas doesn't need a program to be built. They need a program to be elevated. Right. And I don't think Mutz is an elevator. I think he's a builder. So I would go and steer very clear of Musk.
Well, Shocker reminds you that too.
I mean, Musk is a good hire at Arkansas. I mean, he's turned Arkansas, and you know, they're in the Elite Eight. You could say, oh, you know, they played Oral Roberts in the Sweet 16 and beat him by two. You know, Ace Smith almost knocked him out, but you know, they still got there. He still got to win three tournament games. You know, Texas couldn't do that. So yeah. Texas hadn't done that.
Well, you know, I give Hunter Yurecek a lot of credit. That was a great hire of going from, you know, Mike Anderson is a good coach. I was kind of surprised they hired him, but they kind of wanted to go from one step to the next. We'll see if Musselman can take him to the next level. It sounds like you and I don't think that he would, but he reminds me of Shaka in a lot of ways. Like Shaka is a bit, not goofy, but a little eccentric, right? He does, you know, he's like coaching on the sideline. Sometimes, you know, he kind of looks, you know, crazy out there. And Musselman's much more, but yeah, it's too similar to me. I don't know if I can put my finger on what kind of coach besides, because I think Chris Beard's pretty unique. He is goofy in a good way, very thoughtful, like his, you know, just his fireside chats. And then, you know, obviously the goofy part would be him like sitting on the court this year when he called, you know, got ejected and then, you know, stuff like that. Great coach, obviously. Good at putting together. I love the way Chris Beard, this is very applicable to Texas, he's able to take freshmen, transfers, and experienced players, mix them together, and more often than not, get that to coalesce into a really good team. So he's used to coaching different kinds of guys.
And that's what the modern college game is.
Exactly. And so that's why I feel like they should be all in on him. Today's show is also brought to you by betonline.ag. You guys know the deal. Football season is long gone, but right now we are in the heart of basketball season for the NBA and college hoops. NHL is in full swing, and here comes baseball as well. Also, BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality television. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up today. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, for a 50% deposit bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Today's show is also sponsored by the best protein bar out there right now, Built Bar. Guys, go to builtbar.com today. Use the promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, to receive 15% off on your next purchase at builtbar.com. And go check out their Twitter account right now, @bar_built. If you guys go there, you guys can vote on your favorite Built Bar. They're doing Built Bar Madness right now. They have a bracket set up, and you can go to Built Bar on Twitter. It's @bar_built, and go vote for your favorite. Check back each day to see who is winning, and then you guys, you know, try to push your favorite Built Bar to the top. Now, it's going to be difficult, but with your help, you can push your favorite Built Bar to the top. Once again, go to builtbar.com today. Use that promo code LOCKED15. You'll receive 15% off on your next purchase.
Well, I think they will be. I just think it's a matter of is Chris Beard all in on them? And I think he would be too. We didn't mention the name Porter Moser.
He's not going Moser, to Texas. He ain't going to Texas.
I don't think he's leaving Loyola at all. But, you know, that's a name that, you know, you call, right? You'd call.
Right.
So
I think it's hard to get guys to get kids to play that style, though, because – it takes him some time to get his certain players in there. And the way they defend is pretty unique, right? I mean, they are a fascinating defensive case study to watch with the way they kind of change defenses. They defend ball screens. And asking kids to do that all the time, and asking kids, you know, especially kids who are, you know, take example, Jericho Sims. Like, he didn't have to be in the right position all the time to make plays on defense because he's so athletic and long. And some of those guys don't like being asked to do that stuff when they don't have to. So that's one of the things where, you know, what's this recruiting look like? Does he kind of recruit the same guys? That's the kind of a question I have. And that's why I think Loyola is such a good spot for him. If it's not Beard, who do you think it is? Like, if you had to pick one name.
You'd probably look to the NBA assisted route, maybe Ivy. I don't think it's Beeline. I don't.
Mike D'Antoni.
It just seems so obviously to be Beard that, like,
it's Mike D'Antoni. Let's do that.
Else. But yeah, I don't think they're going to go the route of the mid-major, you know, bring up a big mid-major guy. I think that's a big leap to go from there to Texas. So I think it's Beard or the field, and I'm taking Beard.
Yeah. Mike D'Antoni, they should do that. I would love, could you, I mean, he honestly, his offense would be perfect in modern college. I mean, modern basketball period, his offense is perfect. Not actually, that would never actually happen, I don't think. No. Let's quickly talk about one move that was pretty curious. Mike Woodson to Indiana was, you know, it could definitely work. I mean, I'm not saying it won't work, but also Larry Brown coming with him too is an excellent wrinkle. I love that. I love that idea that he's bringing Larry Brown to, you know, be a coach. I guess I forget, it's like assistant or advisor or some way capacity. How'd you feel about that move?
So I actually spent some time in Bloomington last week. Okay. I was down in Indianapolis covering the NCAA tournament. We had, you know, Syracuse made the Sweet 16, so we had a week. So we went down to Bloomington, asked about every Indiana fan I met, you know, who they want to hire, because that's like everybody talks about, even in all around, you know, like you get like a 75-year-old woman and she's like, oh, I want this guy, I want that guy. They actually hired Thad Matta to be the associate AD.
That's right.
In the talks, some people mentioned Thad Matta is who they wanted for the head coaching job, which I was obviously against. And Chris Holtman, they made a run at, but he was never leaving Ohio State. Ultimately, Archie Miller wasn't getting the job done. That's just not going to fly at Indiana. They went with, I think, what is ultimately a safer option. It's a guy you know can coach. Question is, can he recruit? I would argue Indiana's biggest problem isn't recruiting, though. It's coaching. And so we'll see. I think there's some unrealistic expectations about what Indiana is. You know, it fits into what I said earlier about Syracuse and about, you know, the bit and the beeline bit. You know, so much of college basketball is not as much about, you know, the name, the history, the brand anymore. I think it's less that. I think it's more getting the coach that, you know, people care about, the team that people want to play for. And I think there's more power to the players. And so I think Woodson with the NBA background helps in that regard. So I don't have a problem with the hire. I don't think it's a splash hire, but splash hires don't always work. So, you know, if you want the splash hire, you're taking a big risk. People mentioned Porter Moser. He was never coming. People mentioned Brad Stevens. He's never leaving the NBA. And if he left Boston, half the league would call to try to hire him. So I think it was the best option, or one of the best options that they had. There wasn't a ton of good choices. A lot of people were like, you know, I kind of want this guy or that guy. And they don't really know. And I think they'll take Woodson, see what happens.
Yeah, it's really interesting move. And he's got Indiana ties, obviously, too. So, I mean, it's they're very obsessed with getting somebody from Indiana. That's one thing about that. Like, they are so obsessed.
And players, too. And that was the criticism they've had of people, is they've lost way too many Indiana players to both Painter and to other schools. I mean, look at, you know, a guy like Kyle Guy, Virginia.
Right.
You know, how's Tony Bennett getting Indiana guys if we can't? And so, who knows? But I think it was a good hire. And I think the Indiana, you know, if you recruit the state better and you put together a couple of tournament teams, that's all they really want. You know, they're not expecting to be in the Final Four every other year. That's just not how Indiana is anymore. Hasn't been that way since Bobby Knight. So you have to just understand that and kind of move past it. And, you know, there's a world where, like, firing Archie Miller backfired. I mean, who's saying they're getting better? They're losing guys to the portal. Jackson Davis is gone. Who knows?
Yeah, it's interesting. And he is, you know, It's tall test, but look, I think with the way recruiting is now, like, it's so national, you know, as well. You know, the Indiana fans have to get used to, like, it's not about that. I mean, these kids are willing to go anywhere. You know what I mean? And so you need to make Indiana not all about Indiana. You need to make Indiana all about winning. That's kind of the big thing, right? You can't be about yourself, because it's not very inviting. Like, Kate Cunningham went to Oklahoma State this year. You know, Evan Mobley went to USC. You know, Jalen Suggs at Gonzaga. You can get these kids at different places, right?
It goes back further than that, too. It's been a changing of the guard.
Yeah. And Ben Simmons with LSU.
That's the reason. Yeah, Markelle Fultz. But you could look down the list. There's a lot of guys who went to very schools. And, you know, maybe something else is going on there. We don't know. But
right.
The power shift away from the big-time coach and the big-time blue bloods, I think, is real. I think you're seeing it now. I think, you know, Duke had that crazy class. Last 2 years, not nearly as good. UNC, you know, he's losing half his team to the portal like every other year, it seems now. And Roy, and they weren't very good last year. They weren't very good this year. He hasn't recruited a good guard in a few years. And Kentucky has been a mess for a couple of years. And Michigan State was great last year. They didn't really put the pieces together this year. And Izzo's trying to learn how to, you know, keep his team together with the portal being the way it is. We know how he is. So there's just a lot of shifting in college basketball. Yeah. And I think people need to understand that.
I think Oklahoma State's a great example, kind of wrap up here, of, like, you know, like, that's what Indiana should be, right? I mean, they're just not, in terms of, like, football, basketball, they're just not I know they're branded as a basketball school, but Ohio State's a bigger brand. Michigan is a bigger brand across both sports. So
Purdue's had a lot more success. They're in the same state.
Right.
Matt Painter.
Yeah, exactly.
Great coach.
What you should do is, you know, Mike Boynton, the job he did this year at Oklahoma State, they got one star player. And what they do, they built around him. Like the player development from the other guys, not named Kate Cunningham this year, was tremendous. Yeah. And that's what I think about the NBA side of things. Player development is such an emphasis there, right? I mean, because the teams are investing so much money in these players that they need to see what they can get out of the player as fast as possible. And that helps when you're evaluating your players in college, right? You know, it's, you know, it, 4 years, obviously, you need to think, yeah, okay, it's still a quick amount of time. But the NBA, they're trying to get as much out of guys as fast as they can. And that lends itself, I think, you know, if you get a couple good recruits, a couple transfers, and you can have guys, you know, get old. I mean, you can, I think Mike Woodson, after being away from Indiana, probably understands, you know, if he looks at the modern landscape, it's hard to win, but it's not like overly, it's not, the formula is not something crazy, right?
Yeah, and I think the one interesting thing that, you know, I watched a good amount of Oklahoma State this year, and it seems like whenever I watched, Kate had a bad game, and it didn't seem to matter with Oklahoma State. Like there was a game, I'm blanking on who they played, where they were down probably the whole game. They should have lost a couple times. We went to double overtime. Cade was horrible, and they still won the
Texas
game.
Texas double overtime game.
Was it Texas?
Texas was the one double
overtime game. Yes, you're right. Yeah. They beat Texas in double overtime.
That was an awful
game. And he was horrible. Yeah.
They benched him. They benched him down the stretch in that game because he was so bad.
Yeah. And he had a bad game against Oklahoma in the one. He had the crazy game against Oklahoma, but then he had the not nearly as good game against Oklahoma. I think he had like 12 points, and they still won. You know, they beat him on a back-to-back.
They beat West Virginia on the road in Morgantown without him after he rolled his ankle against Baylor.
Yes, and so you look at it, and like that, you know, people say, oh, it's just Cade Cunningham. No, like that team was good. They built around Cade. They built before Cade as much as anything, too. Like they were kind of putting the pieces together last year. You know, Likely really came along a good amount this year.
And Anderson. Those are guys that you can get at Indiana, right? You don't have to get all five stars. Like those guys are types of players you can get there and develop them. And then there you go. Right.
If they didn't have Cade Cunningham, they were still a tournament team. That's what I'm trying to get at here.
Maybe tournament worthy at the end of the year. I don't know about the middle, but yes, at the end of the year, they would have been playing tournament caliber basketball.
Yeah. And so that's the difference right there. And that's what I liked about what Boynton did there. You know, because anybody can get the one guy in to carry your team. What do you do after that? You look at Lon Kruger to kind of circle his back.
Yeah. I like the fact that Oklahoma State invested in Mike Boynton. That was very smart.
Yeah.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Anthony, where can people find you and your work?
DailyOrange.com. I'm a senior staff writer there covering Syracuse. Crazy transfer portal right now for the Orange. They just lost who is their best point guard, even though he didn't play all year. He's probably going to Florida State. Looks like Kentucky's interested, UConn. There's a few schools, Seton Hall. So they're going to lose a guy and a pretty big name. And, you know, I will tease this, but it sounds like there might be more than two Boeheims on Syracuse next year with Jimmy Boeheim coming in from Cornell. That's the buzz is heating on that, and it seems like it's a pretty foregone conclusion that Jimmy and Buddy will be playing for Jim at Syracuse next year. But you can find my work at dailyorange.com and at Anthony DeBundo on Twitter.
All right, Anthony DeBundo, appreciate your time. All right, that will do it for the show today. Make sure you guys check back tomorrow for our Final Four preview as we head into the college basketball's final weekend. Right, guys, we've made it here. Final weekend of the college basketball season, Final Four coming up in Indianapolis. A full preview coming your way tomorrow. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at LOBig12. Follow me at Josh Davers_. And until next time, my friends, please stay safe.